Financial Group. Wherever you are in life and whatever you need for your family, Kiwi Financial Group can provide solutions. Call today, 654-5043.
We have lots to get to on today's show. We're going to have to talk like Jimbo Fisher.
We'll be hearing from Jimbo Moyer during today's show, as like we heard from him yesterday.
Yeah, it's good that we can hear from him. He talks so fast, we don't have to like stop the show for very long.
Did you hear from Jimbo yesterday on the show, Clark?
I did not.
Oh, let's hear. Let's just hear.
Whoops. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, now would be good.
Now, after getting back and evaluating the film and things from the last game, I'm very proud of our team in regard to us. You know, you got a victory, but more importantly, we played very physical in the game. That we gave great effort. We were far from perfect. There's a lot of mistakes in the game that we have to clean up, a lot of little things on all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams, that we have to make sure we're on the same page and just clean up the details and, you know, have great attention to them and all those things. Sometimes I don't always like
it. By the way, that's William Quackenbush, and he's hanging out with me for a while today because we have a lot to talk about. Oh, so you're saying that Quack was in here the last time when...
Yeah, he was in there when you made these early predictions.
When I made the July...
July 13th.
Okay, see.
Because he's the one that said the name of the game.
So I gave out road rage guarantees all the way back on July 13th based on those numbers, as we mentioned yesterday, I think. And those all count, and we're going to give them all to you today. I think there were seven because I gave out South Carolina plus 14.5, which is what it was on July 13th. And if you think for 1 second I'm giving it to you plus 10, when I give it to you as plus 14.5, you're wrong. That's why I gave it to you then. That's why I gave it to you then. Uh-huh. I thought those numbers were in my favor then, which is why I gave you early road rage guarantees, and we're going to play you that a little later on. But no, we're not going to do that now. I just saw this stat, Quack, that Sanders Sullivan posted. Kelly Bryant last season, in the three college game day games, 57 of 82 for 749, 127 yards rushing, 6 total TDs, no INTs.
That is why it would have been absolutely ludicrous. There was no logical reason for Kelly Bryant not to be the starting quarterback at the start of the year, because you know this game's coming. There's no reason not to take Kelly Bryant with you on the road. Why when you go on the road, the most important thing is taking care of the ball, right?
Yep.
Kelly Bryant takes care of it better than anybody. Kelly and I talked about this. She gave me a which is more likely, that Clemson would have no turnovers or 2 turnovers. I said it's more likely Clemson has no turnovers, because in 6 road or neutral games last year, Clemson had no turnovers in 3 of them.
But, you know, the problem with that is it's all weather dependent. I mean, you know, if it's just terrible conditions, then 2 turnovers may actually be a good thing.
True. And all bets are off there.
A&M might have 5. Based on defensive penetration and disruption in the backfield. All right, we have lots to talk about. I thought what we would start with, first of all, What do you consider the biggest game this weekend?
This weekend, I think maybe the one that people would say is USC-Stanford, and that is because they're both ranked. I mean, honestly, I don't see any super-duper huge games this weekend because I'm not sure that any of these games are super impactful. The biggest game in terms of the impact going forward might be Georgia-South Carolina.
I think it's definitely Georgia-South Carolina. I mean, I think it's an enormous game. I think it's an enormous game from Georgia's standpoint. Look, if Georgia wants to be in the world with Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State, then they have to win this game because this game is for control of the division. I mean, I know the SEC East has an unusual history in which sometimes teams have lost these apparent division deciding games and then going on to win anyway. But that is not the norm in the rest of the world, and I'm not going to assume it's the norm there. It's still an improbable statistical outlier. So to me, this game is for control of the division, perhaps a shot at the SEC championship game. But I think it's even more than that. I mean, I think it's an enormous game, especially for South Carolina, because if you look ahead and you look at the way Georgia is tracking, even though South Carolina is recruiting well, I mean, Georgia's recruiting nothing but 5-star guys, 8 in their last class. There doesn't seem to be any decline in that, likely to me. So if you're South Carolina, you're looking for some sort of foothold while Tennessee and Florida are down. And I don't know that you're ever going to get them, ever. In the next 5, 6, 7 years, I don't know that you will ever have a better chance than this one to win this game.
I would agree with that. And it also doesn't help South Carolina that you've got new regimes at Tennessee and Florida that while they've been down, you've been able to kind of pick, you know, have your pick of the litter to a certain degree because you're a more established apparatus recruiting-wise. If Tennessee and Florida reach where they've historically been, and even Tennessee, I would go beneath where they've historically been, then in South Carolina, you're looking at 3rd or 4th in most years in that division. That's not going to get it done. And to your point, I think also a lot of the things for South Carolina, this is one of the reasons I picked South Carolina to win this game. And it's because if you don't do it now, when some of the stars have aligned, such as you only lost by 2 scores in Athens last year, you have Dowdle, you have Samuel back, you have a ton of new, not untalented, but new at Georgia, you have a ton of experience at South Carolina, and it's early in a calendar where maybe Georgia's most talented quarterback is the backup. So many of these things favor South Carolina in this game that if South Carolina does not win, I think you're right. You're looking at a long time before you can see this type of alignment in the stars to be comfortable picking South Carolina to win this game, barring some unforeseen massive upset that nobody will see coming.
Yeah, and look, I'm not willing to grant Florida or Tennessee anything right now. I mean, I hear all these people talking Florida up and picking them in the playoffs this year, and I'm not even sure they're going to beat Kentucky. So I'm not buying anything about Florida. I'm not as high as on Dan Mullen as others are. I think if you actually look at what he did there, I mean, his record against ranked teams is 2-15. To me, I don't know that there's any salvation there. Will he be better? Will he make Florida better than they've been? Yeah, but I mean, that's a low bar. I mean, you know, will he bring them back to Urban Meyer level is the question, and I don't believe he will. So I don't know that. I don't know where or if those two teams are going to factor for a while, but I think the concern, if you're a South Carolina fan or a Muschamp fan, is that it's just going to be Georgia's world, that they're just going to win the division every single year from now on, and that there may not be any end to that. And I think if you plan on altering that likely course of history, this is your best chance. If you can win this game, then you have a chance to change what the history might have been the next 5 or 6 years. If you lose this game, then I think you're just going to be another victim in Georgia's world, because I see this division becoming the exclusive property of Georgia if South Carolina doesn't win this game.
It feels a little bit unfortunate too, doesn't it? Because South Carolina, I mean, if you look at the way things are going, like you said, they recruited pretty well. And I think probably even to a greater extent than you, I know you've been skeptical of Jake Bentley a little bit. I see it as ultimately problematic in the big picture that South Carolina's quarterback in this game is Jake Bentley. Because if there's one reason that South Carolina would fall short in this game, basically fall flat on his face, it ain't going to be injuries like some people that were able to say at times last year. It ain't going to be lines of scrimmage because we think they're better, although they're not as good as Georgia, we think they're better this year. It's not going to be defensive coaching. It's going to be quarterback play. That's going to be the difference here between South Carolina having a chance to win and South Carolina getting blasted.
Yeah, look, in my mind, he has never had an adequate supporting cast to judge him in any way, shape, or form. I mean, you can't have South Carolina these last few years play Clemson, have Bentley play terrible, and say, oh, it's on Bentley. No, it's on the fact that you weren't good enough anywhere to play with Clemson. He didn't have a supporting cast. But I think now, I think he's out of excuses. And I think this is the put-up-or-shut-up game for him. I mean, he's a kid who's done a lot of talking. You know, a lot of that was when he was young. You can excuse that away as just silly, youthful talk. But I think this is the prove-it point. I mean, you have guys like Matt Miller have him in the first round of the NFL draft. Now, Miller is a borderline idiot, but that's beside the point. I don't see Jake Bentley and never have as a round one type quarterback. I think the question is he a draftable quarterback? And could he be a guy who gets chosen in, say, round three or four, somewhere in there? And this is the prove-it ground. Because to me, the excuses are gone. Now we're going to find out about you. To me, this is Jake Bentley's game on this weekend, on Saturday, because it's his supporting cast at home is good enough to beat this young Georgia team that's in flux. They're good enough. So it's no longer on the supporting cast. You're not going to be able to say that the offensive line wasn't good enough or you didn't have the receiving weapons or you didn't have this. He has those things now. And that's why this game for him, I think, is the most important game of his career. And I think it's going to determine really who he is and how he's viewed beyond this point. I mean, it's going to go in one direction or another. Now, I'm not saying he necessarily has to win the game. What I'm saying is he has to play well and put his team in position to win the game. Sometimes the other guy makes a play and, you know, you're not on defense and you can't stop it. But against this Georgia defense that I think is suspect. I think this defense is young. It has talent, but it's lost the brain trust. It's lost its best player in Roquan Smith. I think this defense is suspect, and I think Bentley should do business against this defense. And, you know, at the end of the game, if he loses a 35-31 game in which he plays well, that'll be enough. It'll be enough to propel him forward. On the other hand, if he throws for 200 yards and goes, you know, 13 of 31 with two interceptions and doesn't play well, his career is basically over. He's not an NFL prospect, and he will never be regarded in South Carolina history as one of their elite quarterbacks. This is the kind of game, if you're what you think you are, if Jake Bentley is what he thinks he is, then he has to play well in this game.
Yeah, and I think South Carolina fans would agree with that, maybe to a greater degree than anybody else, because let's be clear about what Jake Bentley is at this point. In the biggest games, he is, and I agree with what you said about supporting cast. I've made the case that if you just take the supporting cast out of it, that Bentley hasn't been that good. I mean, it's not like he's hitting guys in the hands and they're dropping the ball or whatever. He's not been that good anyway. But regardless of that, you got a guy who basically at halftime of the bowl game with Michigan hadn't had any good moments at all against any good teams ever in 2 years as a starting quarterback at South Carolina, year and a half as a starting quarterback at South Carolina. Then all of a sudden the second half against Michigan happened where he's making throws against Don Brown's defense, a very good defense with NFL guys on it and one of the top two, three, four coordinators in the country coordinating that defense. He is now dialing him up and leading South Carolina back from down double digits. Now, all of a sudden, you're going into this game with at least a tiny sample size that says Bentley can play. He's not totally overmatched in these environments. If he plays poorly against Georgia, then that half will be an aberration. If he doesn't, now let's say you have three consecutive halves of Jake Bentley being really well. Now, all of a sudden, the conversation shifts to, okay, when you play Pruitt at Tennessee, does he play well there? When you play Florida, with the athletes they have where he hasn't played well in 2 years. When you play Clemson, who's embarrassed in the last 2 years, can Bentley then overcome? And you start to have a radically different conversation. So I agree. There, after this game, there will be no middle ground with Jake Bentley. It will be one fork, Michigan's second half was a mirage, or it will be another fork, this is a changed player who's grown up in year three. I 100% agree with that. Now, if he plays okay, maybe we can wait till the next one, but I don't. I see that as a very small percentage chance of the possible outcomes. Yeah.
It's not the Clemson game. They're not in their division. They're not in their league. This team is in their division. This is the team. You know, remember, Jake Bentley early on was talking about national championships. And I said, you know, that's not going to happen. I said, you know, worry about trying to win your division. You know, that's the goal. This is the impediment to winning the division. This is the biggest game of his career. It's not, you know, no offense, it's not the Michigan game. No one cares about the Michigan game. It's a meaningless game. It's a bowl game that no one really cared about. It's fine. And as you say, if it's the beginning of a turnaround, that's fine. But this is the game. This is the rival in the division. This is the team you have to beat if you aspire to win the division. And it's a game that he has to play well in. Now, my belief is he's going to play well. I believe that Jake Bentley's going to play well. I think he's going to have a good year. I think he has something to build on. I think he has better protection. I think he has a better running game. And I think he has more weapons. Therefore, I expect him to have a good year. If he does not have a good year, given the enhanced talent around him, then it's on him. And that's why this game, I think this game is absolutely vital. And because, again, Quack, look, if he plays a pedestrian game and Georgia wins by double digits or more, I'm sorry, what is there left to play for?
Yeah.
You know, that's it. I mean, that's the game you have to win. You know, and again, from his standpoint, from South Carolina's standpoint, they have to win this game. Moral victory here doesn't help. It doesn't help this year. It doesn't help the course of history the next 5 years. But from his standpoint, he can play well in a close defeat and still gain personally. He can gain personally. Again, if he loses 35-31, he plays really well, and no one perceives the loss as being on him, but rather thinks that he held his team in the game. Well, he gains personally from that. South Carolina won't gain as a team from that, because South Carolina, again, if we agree that this is the Gamecocks' best chance over the next 4 or 5 years to beat Georgia, then this is the game you got to win.
How much of this, if Bentley does struggle, how much of this blows back on Muschamp, especially if the offense ends up, I think as you and I probably expected to at some point, it ends up looking the same in terms of they're going to say and maybe do some token tempo, but not really buy into that. I mean, how much of that blowback comes on Muschamp and picking a guy who was from a system that failed twice to be your offensive coordinator?
Well, you know, look, I think with Muschamp, I really believe this. I think he fights this internal battle with himself. I think he knows what he needs to do, but it's not what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Inside, he's a defensive guy at heart, and I think he views these type of offenses as a hindrance to what he wants to do defensively. But I also think he's smart enough to understand by now where he has failed in the past and make those corrections. But we're going to find out. I mean, this is going to be a good example because, in part, I think Georgia has difficulty handling up-tempo spread offenses. I think Kirby Smart has always struggled handling up-tempo spread offenses. So I think if you're South Carolina, I think that's exactly what you want to do. The question is, will he allow McClendon to do it? We'll find out. All right, we'll take a quick break. I know there are people on hold. We'll get to you as well. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage, joined by William Quackenbush, and we're talking college football.
Hey, Tiger fans, your Clemson football team will host the Syracuse Orange on Saturday, September the 29th in Death Valley. This game is designated as Hall of Fame Day, as 10 new inductees will be introduced at halftime. Tickets are still available and can be purchased right now on ClemsonTigers.com. While you're there, check out all the information you need to plan your visit to Clemson in the Game Day Guide. It's Clemson and Syracuse on Saturday, September the 29th. We'll see you there.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive inventory. They have everything for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because Granger Nissan has all new vehicles with a lifetime powertrain warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
You do back to school, and Northland Communications has the most important thing on your list: high-speed internet. Learning doesn't end when you leave the classroom. It starts at home. You need ways to connect to the world around you. Get one of the most important tools for success today: Northland's high-speed internet. Whether you're messaging with classmates or studying for finals, you're only one click away from discovering, learning, and getting more out of school this year with speeds up to 100 megabits per second. That's fast. And now, get Northland's best deal of the year. Sign up for Northland's high-speed internet for only $39.99 a month. Don't miss out. Call 888-NORTHLAND or visit getnorthland.com to learn more.
Limited time offer. All rates net of taxes and fees. Not available in all areas. Additional restrictions and conditions apply. Actual speeds may vary. See getnorthland.com/offers for full details.
Hey, homebuyers. You're about to make the biggest purchase of your life. It's a stressful, high-pressure situation. You need a lawyer you trust to make sure your deal closes without a hitch. Holiday Law Firm is your go-to closing attorney in the upstate. Hayes Holiday and Trey Ingram have helped hundreds of homeowners close on their dream home, and they want to be your closing attorney. Call Hayes and Trey today to help you with your purchase. You'll be glad you did. Visit holidaylawfirm.com for more information.
You are unique. The independent financial advisors at Kiwi Financial Group think that your financial plan should also be unique. We offer customized advice and recommendations that you might not get from the big box guys or a robo-advisor with their one-size-fits-all approach. The Kiwi Financial Group can help you accumulate and protect your wealth. Trust your financial future with the Kiwi Financial Group in Clemson. Call today at 654-5043 or online at kiwifg.com.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility On Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-506-2734. 800-506-2734. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-506-2734.
No one knows sports like Walt knows sports. It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
All right. Listen up.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Walt Deptula, Road Rage, joined by Kwok. We'll get back to the football conversation in a minute. Let me tell you about Healthier first. Healthier isn't a weight loss program. Look, if your goal is to look better in a bikini, you will get that as a side effect. But Healthier's goal is to make you well. Healthier is a cellular health company. Cells dehydrate over time. In addition to that, if you're overweight, you are carrying around this
yellowy visceral fat inside you, which clings to your internal organs and is slowly suffocating you from the inside out. What that means is it means you get high blood pressure, medications, diabetes, CPAP machines, all these nasty things, gout. In as little as 30 days, when you sign up for their 90-day challenge, Healthier can get you on the way to wellness, on the way to giving up your meds. You know, there was a gentleman, Ramona, who did a testimonial. He weighed over 400 pounds. He had young children. He was no longer part of his children's life. Wow. Is basically the way it comes down. You know, he was basically relegated to being a homebody, and he wasn't enjoying, he wasn't getting to live his life with his children in the way he wanted. Well, he took the Health Dare 90-day challenge. He wound up over a course of time losing 200 pounds, and now he has his life back, which means he has his children back. 1-877-I-DARE-ME, 1-877-I-DARE-ME, 1-877-432-7363, 1-877-432-7363. Let me let Dave in Simpsonville in here on this conversation because he's been hanging on a while. Dave, how are you?
Doing great, Walt. Walt, good to talk with you. You know, talking about Georgia, South Carolina is about, you remember when you saw the first Rocky movie when Rocky fought Spider Rico? That's about how I rate this game. That'll be about as interesting as two big old burly dudes standing in the middle of the ring headbutting each other. It's going to be a sweet little game, but really, when you think about it, the heavyweight, Apollo and Rocky get after it at 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
No, you know, Dave, Dave, here's why it doesn't work, because no one's buying A&M. No one's buying A&M as any of that.
That's, well... Hey!
I mean, I view A&M as the 99-pound weakling. That's why it doesn't work for me.
Hey, I can give you all kind of NWA wrestling analogies for Texas A&M right now, but you know, you started off the show in the first segment talking about Kelly Bryant's statistics on the road, and you and I had that conversation Wednesday evening, sometime around 6:30. Talking about how Kelly seems to play better the road than he does in the Valley. And then you brought up weather. Well, I'll go back and look at the Georgia Tech game last year, and it was a driving monsoon. What was Kelly's statistics in that game, if you have those readily available?
Okay, Quark's looking them up right now. I don't remember it off the top of my
head. I contend that on the road, whether or not weather, you know, I still think Kelly's going to rise to the occasion.
I do too. Kelly's, I think, going, he's going to play well.
Yeah. And these are the kind, you know, Dabo talks about being built for this. This is when I see Kelly rising up. We talked about it Wednesday. He gets away from the pressure and the expectations of the home crowd. It's his opportunity. It's a band of brothers. They get out there and they take care of each other, and he does what he's supposed to do. So I fully expect. I'm not worried about the weather. I'm not worried about the 102 or 110,000 that's going to be there, because I think Kelly's already proven his mettle that he can handle that pressure. Now, I also said, take out the Syracuse game. Well, for one, he should have never played in that Syracuse game. And I think you'll agree, with that injured ankle, he was a lame duck after he took off running in early in the first quarter. And then he should have just been taken out. And then Bama, we said this ad nauseum, Deshaun probably wouldn't have beaten Bama this past Sugar Bowl. So you throw those two games out, you keep those other games in, and look at his statistics. I think he's ready for this big of a state, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Yep.
But anyway, thanks for letting me give my Spider Rico take. Take
care. Thank you, David. Appreciate it. You know, it's interesting, Quark. There are I haven't done this a long time, and pretty much knowing the whole history of college football, there have not been a lot of two quarterback systems. They have been very, very rare. I mean, I don't consider what Florida did with Chris Leak and Tebow a two quarterback system. I don't consider what Oklahoma did using the belldozer and goal line situations to amount to a two quarterback system. I think a two quarterback system is, you're talking about both guys taking at least 40% of the snaps. So, you know, if it's 60-40 or 50-50, I mean, I think that's what a true two-quarterback system is. And it's interesting because there may be at least three places in college football that seem ready to try it this year. Clemson is one of them. It seems like Northwestern may be ready to try it with Thorson and Green, and Kansas State with Delton and Thompson. So it appears that there are at least three teams, just right off the top of my head, that seem intent on playing two quarterbacks all season long.
The first time, and I'll answer that, and then I got Kelly Bryant's asking that Georgia Tech game too. The first time I saw it work the way you're describing, and I may be misremembering it, but that the Duke team a few years ago where they had, I think it was Renfrey when he was young, and there was another guy in there that was in the mix. One of those years where they won like 9 ball games or something like that, they did it, and it was more of a timeshare like that. And I would agree, most of the times when you see it, it's sort of extremists, yeah, where you have one extreme thrower and one extreme runner that's used in very, you know, yeah, like very small sliver situations.
Generally, the second guy fills a role.
Yeah, that's right. Now, Kelly Bryant in that Georgia Tech game was very good. He was 22 of 33, 270 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, and ran it 12 times for 67 yards in a 24-10 win last year against Georgia Tech. So, very good in that game.
Yeah. So, I think he's poised and ready to handle whatever he encounters at Kyle Field. And the conversation I had with Dave the other day was actually that he may feel less pressure on the road right now, given the magnitude of eyes that are on him here in terms of the Trevor Lawrence shadow. I think getting out on the road may actually be the best thing for Kelly Bryant. Look, I expect him to play well. It doesn't mean that Trevor Lawrence won't play well. I mean, it's conceivable they both play well. I mean, look, I think that's the notion. I think that's the idea. And it may be the case that this team is so good that it doesn't matter who plays quarterback. That may be the case. It may be that this team can play any of these guys at quarterback and that they're that good. I think we're going to find out. I mean, obviously, look, there's a little bit of a gamble in this. And the gamble is that if you have one guy who's playing well and you don't allow the flow of the game to dictate the substitution pattern, then you run the risk of putting a cold guy in and having something go wrong and changing momentum. So in other words, let's just say that Bryant plays well early and it's 10-0 Clemson. Then by a prescribed plan, you insert Trevor Lawrence into the game. And let's say he fumbles the first play and Texas A&M, scoops and scores or scores 2 plays later. Now it's 14-7. You let the crowd back in the game and you've changed the whole game. So I think it's going to be interesting to see. I fully believe that, I'm certain that Clemson has a prescribed plan for playing Trevor Lawrence X amount every game. I think in this game, I'm thinking it's more like 60-40 Bryant, but I am curious whether the flow of the game will change that or not, especially on the road in a hostile environment, perhaps with bad weather conditions. Does that change that? If Bryant's playing well early, do you just wind up sticking with him longer, or do you stick with your original plan? Are you that committed to the original plan, regardless of circumstance?
I really believe that you'll see them adjust it a bit. I think probably the plan, if I were making it out, it'd be first 2 quarters, you got a plan to go 50-50, and then whatever happens those first 2 quarters dictates whatever happens in the next 2. I really believe this, and I think what you said is right. It is very hard to historically look at these true two quarterback systems that have really done anything of consequence, not much less like compete for a national championship. We're talking do anything of consequence in any team that, you know, went to a good bowl or anything. And so I think what Dabo Swinney has done and what the staff has done is they have basically looked at their situation and said, we are in this situation now, regardless of what it says, there's a risk either way. Now, I'm not of the opinion that there's no risks for having a guy And then you know, there's ample risk in having two guys. To me, Nick Saban looked at it the other way. And he said, I have two guys. One's better than the other. The other one's been here. We're basically just going to make it a shadow one-man system and just tell everybody it's two, and then we're going to play two of the whole time.
Well, Nick Saban's most disingenuous guy on earth, and all he did is he used Jalen Hurts and still is using him, and for his own benefit, he wanted to have the backup quarterback, so he invented this notion that there was really competition there. And I tell you all along, Tua was going to be the starter. You'd have to be an idiot to watch that national championship game and not understand that one guy is light years better than the other, and Saban's not an idiot, but what he is he's a disingenuous guy who will do anything he can for his own purposes, and so his goal is to get Hurts in enough early games to burn his red shirt and to keep him there. That's his goal, and I think it's conceivable. I mean, I assume that Jalen and his dad are not idiots, and therefore I assume that it won't be long before they catch on to the little plan, and therefore, don't be shocked if Jalen Hurts walks before game five, if he's gone out of there before game five, because he was dragged along with this notion of, you know, oh, we don't have a starter, it's, you know, we love both guys' skill sets, it's just bull crap. You're going to use the guy, you're only going to put him in garbage time. That's the truth of it.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%, and so What I would say is, for Clemson, you could have done that, but you run the risk of alienating one of the two guys.
But Quark, that's what's interesting, because Dabo basically said, you know, that he's just doing what's best, but there is a political element.
There
we
has
can't
to
kid
be.
Ourselves. There's a political element. You couldn't afford, given Hunter Johnson was gone, you couldn't afford to lose one of these two guys. And so there's a balance. There's a delicate balance you play when you're recruiting at this level and when you have players of this ability.
I think it would be crazy to think that in a program that is as high level as Clemson, recruiting these types of athletes, that has very little attrition. Now, you don't see a lot of transfers. They don't oversign like a place like Alabama or even like Georgia does. I mean, you're not seeing a whole bunch of attrition at these places. Or Clemson, rather, that you've seen a lot of other big programs.
But we've seen guys leave at the quarterback position.
We have. That's exactly right. And so you would be crazy to think that Dabo Swinney doesn't somehow envision, either subconsciously or fully consciously, some political solution here that keeps everybody as happy as possible. That's why he makes a big deal about playing 642 guys against Furman. That's why they dress 6,000 people and let everybody run down the hill, where the band had to play 92 times last week because everybody's running down the hill. It's because you want to give as much, like you're talking about with Jalen Hurts, you want to give as much exposure as possible so that you keep everybody as happy as possible, so that guys don't leave and leave you with gaping holes in your depth chart should some injury arise.
Especially at this quarterback situation.
Yes.
Especially with Hunter Johnson having already departed. There had to be a political element to this. There had to be. And it is a balance. And in this case, both guys can play. It's not a Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa situation where one guy is brilliant and the other guy sucks out loud. It's not that situation. Both these guys can play. So it makes it easier in a way. And it makes it possible to do what Clemson has apparently chosen to do, which is run a two-quarterback system all year long. At least that seems the plan now. You know, we'll see. Things can change and circumstance can change. But I think that Clemson seems pretty dedicated to this path. We'll take a quick break. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage, joined by William Quackenbush. We'll be back.
The Clemson Tigers Network.
Let's go!
2018 football season is underway, and the Clemson Tigers hit the road this week. Jimbo Fisher's worst nightmare is traveling to Kyle Field to take on the Texas A&M Aggies. The first road game of the season is this Saturday, and you'll be there for every minute with the Clemson Tigers Network.
Catch all the action, starting with the Tiger pregame show right here on WCCP 105.5 The Wolf.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
It's a great time to buy a new car, and the best place to shop for one is Walhalla's Ford dealer, Edwards Auto Sales. In business for over 50 years, you'll find a great selection of new and certified pre-owned Fords, plus lots of local trade-ins. The Edwards family believes in customer service and was voted Oconee's best new car dealer for the fifth year in a row in 2016. For the best price, best service, and the best car buying experience, go see Edwards Auto Sales, Highway 28 in Walhalla.
Fort Knox Climate Storage of SC, now offering exclusive pricing for listeners. 10x10 dry storage units, $50 per month. 10x15 units, $60 per month. Roomy 10x20 units, $80 per month. Lowest price of the year on climate control storage units. Summer cleaning, moving, need more space in your home or garage? Store your stuff with confidence. Call 502-0099 today and mention the Roar to lock in your offer. Fort Knox Storage, where top-notch security is the standard. Go Tigers!
South Carolina homeowners, now is the perfect time to get a home equity line from State Credit Union. With an interest rate of just 2.9% APR for the first year, you can use the equity in your home to finance home improvements, higher education, or to consolidate your debt. And for a limited time, there are no closing costs. For more information, visit our website today at scscu.com/equity. State Credit Union, taking members where they want to go. Certain terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Hey, Tiger fans, this is Taj Boyd with an update on Lakeside Lodge Clemson, Clemson's first condo hotel. Now under construction, Lakeside Lodge offers 1, 2, and 3-bedroom condos starting from the mid-200s. You can use it whenever you want and rent it when you're away. It's that easy. With top-notch amenities like housekeeping, food and beverage services, and lake access, Lakeside Lodge will provide the ultimate Clemson experience. Hurry, because these condos are selling fast. Come see me at our sales office at 906 Tiger Boulevard next to Ruby Tuesday.
Are you hungry? Local Q has revised our menu to include all of your favorite monthly specials from the last 6 months. Nashville Hot Chicken Bites, Oxtail Tacos, our local Cubano Sandwich, Daily Smoked Chicken, and much more. Come and see if your favorite made the cut. You can see our menus and specials at localq.com. Please don't be offended. We do ID everyone. Local Q, the place to connect for beer, barbecue, and board games.
Quark here for Hendrick Honda Easley. I've owned my Accord for several years, and I can tell you a Honda's the way to go. Hendrick Honda Easley has been in business 25 years, offering their customers a fair, fast, easy, and transparent experience. After you've purchased your new or pre-owned vehicle from Hendrick Honda Easley, believe me, their staff from service to finance is behind you 100%. See Hendrick Honda Easley online at HendrickHondaSC.com or in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
If your business IT provider can't fix your phones or doesn't work weekends, that's, well, TSA Choice will manage it all 24/7. TSA Choice. All your technology, all the time. TSAChoice.com.
No one's better than Walt Dabdula. Just ask him. It's Road Rage on 105.5 The Roar.
I mean, what better way to fortify our masculinity than some classic male bonding?
Now, back to Walt and Ramona.
Priority one for all your security needs, the best in the industry. They'll protect your family, the people who matter most. Look, I'm telling you, we live in a dangerous world. This is the way it is. I mean, we had some crazy loon who was killing people and burying them on his property in the state. I mean, this is the world we live in. I mean, you see it every day. You know, look, security is a personal decision. I'm not telling you what to do or when to do it. I am telling you this. When you're ready, my friends at Priority One are ready and waiting to help you. They'll help you with a customized approach. Your system won't be the same as your neighbor's. The finest tip of the spear technology and the fastest response time in the industry. When it comes to protecting your family, trust me, when Priority One comes out to your property or your business, you will know instantly you are in the hands of the experts. 288-1400, 288-1400. Call them. You will thank me later. Do we know what Desmond Howard said? I have people asking me about Desmond Howard and what Desmond Howard said about Clemson. JR, I don't know what he said, so you're going to have to clue me in. I have no idea. I want to talk about the games on this week's slate of games that we are assigned to pick. Ramona, you have the games. Can you give them to us from the
side? I have the games. It's for the Pick'em contest.
Yes,
the Pick'em. And the Pick'em contest is sponsored by Carolina Alliance Bank.
That's right.
Ramona right on top of it.
By the way, this is what Desmond Howard said, apparently. I don't have a quote, but this is a, sort of a tag. Apparently he said that Clemson using two quarterbacks is a, quote, slap in the face to Kelly Bryant.
Look, I don't give you, all I know about Desmond Howard is he picked Michigan to win the title.
The guy
he's already out. He's already out.
He's already out. He's trying to be wrong.
He's out in one game. You know, I want to get to that Texas thing at some point too, because allegedly there's some computer genius who always picks the unbeaten teams, and Texas ran an article on this. The Texas website ran an article because he picked Texas to go 12-0. Oops, oops, genius.
Now sometimes the computer's wrong there, pal.
Man, that team Quack has lost 36 games in league since 2000. That's 4.5 a year. That's Texas. That's who Texas.
That's
a crappy afterthought in the Big 12. That's all they are. It's all they're ever going to be. You know how many teams Maryland has beaten in consecutive years since 2013? Yeah, two. They beat Rutgers. in consecutive years, and now they've beaten Texas in consecutive years. Legend of Tom Herman. I never liked that guy. Not only do I think he's overrated as a coach, but he's a bad character guy. No, we never interviewed him. Those guys in Texas interviewed him. Remember?
Who was the guy that said, "Are we talking crazy women?"
I forget. No, it wasn't him. We haven't spoken to Tom Herman.
Oh, okay.
No. All right. Let's.
You want me to list the games?
Yeah. Start.
What?
Well, okay. We're going to start from the top. We're going to discuss them.
Okay.
Apparently,
the
quickly.
First one is Mississippi State at Kansas State.
I know, Quick. You think Mississippi State's going to kill him? Bill Snyder over his career is something like 67% against the spread. I mean, and in Manhattan, it's just nobody covers there except them. So I'm going to advise you off of that.
I don't know how they're going to block them. I don't know how they're going to block them up front.
Do you want me to help you, Quack?
Yeah.
Would you picks?
Yeah. Okay. I may need it. I'm down two games.
That's just wrong.
Hey, I have to do it because who knows if it's ever going to happen again.
That's too funny. Look, I agree. I mean, I had to pick Mississippi State based on, I think if Kansas State still had Byron Pringle, the guy who destroyed Oklahoma State last year, then I think I would have gone with Kansas State, because I still think, you know, in the last 15 years, Kansas State has something like 30 more non-offensive touchdowns than any other team in America. And even at their worst, they kill people with special teams. And I still think they'll kill Mississippi State with special teams. I agree. I think Kansas State right now, and look, they'll get better all year. That's what they do. I mean, remember, they almost beat Oklahoma last year in Manhattan. Then they went to Stillwater with essentially just a kid at quarterback, and they kicked the crap out of Oklahoma State. So they will get better like every Snyder team does. Will they be better good enough by week two? I don't know. I fully believe this. Snyder couldn't believe what they did last week. I mean, they dropped passes. They fumbled in the red zone. They committed 13 penalties, the most in the Snyder era. So I imagine there was a lot of correcting done this week. I do think their offensive line's good. They have running backs. I think both quarterbacks can potentially do some damage to Mississippi State, but I do agree that blocking those guys is going to be tough. And Mississippi State's very good at the line of scrimmage, and they're huge. Their offensive line's mammoth, too. So that may present some problems. My biggest question about Mississippi State is Nick Fitzgerald.
Was he suspended or that's what I want? Was he hurt, healthy, suspended, or was he hurt and they called it something else last week? That's what I want to know.
But what is he anyway?
I'm not sure.
He's a 54% passer who is not a good thrower of the football. He just isn't. He has a pedestrian arm. His strength is he's a great runner. Is he still a great runner after his bone was sticking out of his leg?
That's a fair question.
You know, we don't know.
Is the backup good? I mean, the backup played fine last week, but that does change the calculus a little bit.
Yeah, they played the worst team in the country last week,
and
he hit big yardage numbers, but he was also like 12 of 31 or something. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know.
I think he's not going to be any good because when I sprained my ankle like 10 years ago, every time I hit it on the coffee table, it hurts.
Yeah, That's the same thing. All right, we'll move on from that. What's the second game?
Arizona at Houston.
Is this the hardest game?
I hate this game so much. Why is this on here? I yelled at Kelly when she put it on there. True story.
But I like those kind of games. They're tough. Yeah. I went back and forth a million times. Arizona, the Arizona offensive line is terrible. The worst player on that line, the Alec Eberle of the West, is the center. And he's the guy who has to block Ed Oliver. That's a really bad matchup.
Here is where I use convoluted logic to pick Arizona in this game. First of all, I think it's which team did you hate less in week one, or which coach do you believe is not horrible? I don't know what Major Applewhite's doing. It feels like he squandered a lot of talent. They brought in a bunch of transfers. Other than Ed Oliver, I don't like anything about Houston or what they're doing. On Arizona's side, I don't think Kevin Sumlin is a total clown show as a coach. I think he's mediocre to below average. But he's not such a bozo the clown that he would keep Khalil Tate in a pocket that has Ed Oliver also occupying it the whole
not
game.
Not after last week, because he's taken all sorts of abuse
right.
for failing to run Khalil Tate.
So I think they will have to move Tate out of the pocket because Oliver's in there.
They're going to, yeah. They're going to run. There's no question. They're going to run Tate more this week because of the abuse someone took for not failing to run him. But I like Houston a little more than you do because I really like the King kid, the converted wide receiver at quarterback. I think he has ability. I think their O-line is pretty good. But what I might like best is that they brought in Captain Evil, Kendall Briles. I think Briles
is great.
I think Briles is going to do a great job with that offense. I think Houston's going to be good. But I don't know that they're good right now. And their biggest problem I see in Houston is D'Onofrio. I do not like D'Onofrio, the defensive coordinator. I never did like D'Onofrio. You know, if Orlando was still in Houston, I would have taken Houston in a heartbeat because remember what happened to Lamar Jackson when he went to Houston. They sacked him 11 times, turned him into a pumpkin. They would kill Khalil Tate just like that. But D'Onofrio is more of a passive guy. And so that ultimately, my concern with Arizona is the start time because their players were talking about the fact that for them, it's like a 9 a.m. game. And I didn't even fully realize Arizona was in Pacific Standard Time. But apparently there's a two-hour time difference. But the game's a total toss-up to me. Let's move on from it because there's nowhere to go here. Go ahead.
The next one is Duke at Northwestern.
You know, it's funny. I had Northwestern last week, and that worked out. And I think probably people thought I would go with Northwestern again. I'll tell you why I picked Duke. I picked Duke because of Wayne Ellington. and here's what I mean. Here's what I mean by that.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. But Ramona didn't even let me slip that by. Remember, every time Wayne Ellington saw Clemson, he lit them up?
Yes.
Well, Daniel Jones had the best game of his career against Northwestern. He threw for 300. He ran for 100. And what that tells me is that there's something about Daniel Jones and or David Cutcliffe's offense that Fitzgerald and Northwestern can't handle. And it's too much of an outlier. I mean, Daniel Jones basically sucked last year. He wasn't any good, but he was great against Northwestern. So something tells me that when he sees Northwestern again, this is a team he knows that he can do things against.
I see that. I think that's a great read on Daniel Jones. I told Kelly this last year, and she laughed at me for weeks, and she continues to laugh at me to this day. I watched that game, and I thought it was a total fluke fest. Like, there was a targeting in the end zone. It was
bad.
Yeah,
I heard you laugh.
There was a pass interference about that. Man, that was such a joke game.
There was 400 yards he put up.
Well, I know that. I believe this. I picked against Northwestern because I wasn't sure about the quarterback situation, and I'm more convinced than ever that Northwestern, on both sides of the ball, has the apparatus set up to be successful. I think in just about every game. The Duke game, look, if Duke wins this, then I'll say that Duke is the kryptonite, weirdly, that no other Big Ten team is, because Northwestern doesn't get blown out like that under Pat Fitzgerald ever. I'm going to choose to believe it's an aberration unless it happens again, in which case I'll be forced to pick Duke over Northwestern for the remainder of time.
And to me, I think Fitzgerald's a meat and potatoes guy. I think he's really good against Big Ten teams.
And I'm not sure he's as good against teams that whose offensive philosophy might be a little more complex.
They lose a lot of bowl games.
Right.
So I'll say that.
What do we have next? I'm sort of interested in one particular game. Let's just jump to that because I'm the only one to pick that. I was shocked. Iowa and Iowa State. I was stunned that no one took Iowa State.
I was stunned that no one else took Iowa State also.
And I think I heard you say that you thought Iowa was the better team. But let me ask you this, because I don't think so. I think Iowa State's going to win this game. And my reason for it are, for one, I actually think Iowa State's just better. I think Iowa State proved they were road warriors last year as well, going to places like Norman, Oklahoma, and winning. Seems to me, if you can go to Norman, Oklahoma, and win, you can go to Kinnick and win. I don't think Iowa is explosive. And, you know, that game last year, Iowa State dominated that game, and then they fell asleep at the wheel, and they let Iowa rally and come all the way back and win like 44-41. And I think they've lived with that for a year. The only thing that concerns me is actually the thing Kelly brought up. I do agree that teams generally get, the old adages get better, improve most between week one and week two. And of course, Iowa State didn't get to play week one. But the other thing is this. Iowa State really has all their best players back. You look at Iowa, their three best players a year ago were Wadley the tailback, Josie Jewell, and Josh Jackson, and all three of those guys are gone. And so when I look at that game, I think Iowa State's better. I really think they're going to win that game, and I'm not sure it's going to be that close. But we'll see, because how many people are in the contest? 16?
16.
So 15 others went the other way. But I think part of that is I'm not sure people are really familiar with Iowa State.
That's true. Iowa State, Matt Campbell can coach.
I think Matt Campbell
will out-coach Kirk Ferentz in this game. I really believe that.
We're done. Quack, I'll tell people where you're going tonight when we get right, when we back.
Good deal.
Thank you, Quack. Great job. Walter Tool, Road Rage.
Another hour of great sports talk from the Priority One Security Studios. We are WCCP, Clemson, Greenville, 105.5, The Roar.